Appreciate that prayer has been offered up, and I ask that you continue to pray for us what time we stand before you tonight. If you have your Bibles, I'd like to turn with me to 1 Samuel chapter 15. There's one thought in particular I'd like to get to in this chapter, but in order to get there, we'll have to look at the verses leading up to it to truly understand and comprehend what is said. So we'll begin reading verse 1. It says, Samuel also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." Verse 2. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, "I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." Now, in these verses which we read to you, Samuel, the prophet, is speaking to Saul, who is the first king over Israel, and tells him that the Lord's the one that anointed you to be king, and you need to hear what the Lord has to say. Now, it's interesting to me that although Saul is king over Israel, he still answers to somebody. And it doesn't matter how high we get in a position of power and authority in this world, we always answer to somebody. And here Saul is reminded that the Lord is the one who is giving him the orders, even though he's king over all Israel. And he's given him a specific command. Now, the Lord gives us two types of commands. One is a specific command, and one is a general command. In a general commandment, you're given some flexibility, some liberty. And a specific commandment, you have no flexibility. Now, God told Noah to build an ark out of gopher wood. That was a specific commandment. He wasn't at liberty to use oak wood or pine or steel. He wasn't at liberty to change that. He said gopher wood. That's a specific commandment. Bible tells us to preach, pray, sing, give. He doesn't say how much. He doesn't say how often. There's some flexibility, you understand, there in that general commandment. So there's two types of commandments the Lord gives. And in this case, the Lord is giving a specific commandment for Saul and Israel to go and to destroy Amalek. Wipe them completely out. Doesn't matter if they're a baby. Doesn't matter if they're an animal. It doesn't matter. Wipe them out. We may say, why would the Lord give a commandment like this? You know, a lot of times we may not know the answer why the Lord gives the commandments that He does. But in this case, we do know why. You go back to Exodus chapter 17. You can read about what the Lord is describing here in these verses. In Exodus chapter 17, the nation of Israel had come out of Egypt. They had crossed the Red Sea and they were headed towards the promised land, and Amalek ambushed them, came and attacked them from behind, got the elderly and the weak among them, and so Moses told Joshua to gather up the army and to fight, and Moses went up into a mountain, and he raised his hands up to the Lord, and Joshua and all Israel was winning the battle, and Moses, you know, it's amazing. Just holding your hands up above your head for a little while, your hands will get heavy and they'll start to droop. Well, that's what happened to Moses. And when his hands came down, Amalek started to prevail. And so it was in Israel's best interest for Moses' hands to be raised up to the Lord. And so Aaron, his brother, and Hur each got on one side of him and held his arm up. And they sat him down on a stone. And I'll tell you, at my ordination, my brother in the charge preached a beautiful message on that experience. And he said, we have a picture of the church here and the battle she faces. And Moses is a picture of the minister. And the deacons are a picture of Aaron and Hur holding his arms up. And how the Lord blesses the church to win the battles that they face when the minister is lifting himself up to the Lord. But he needs help. He needs support. He needs strength. And that's where the deacon brethren come in. I was ordained with two deacons, and that was a very fitting description on that occasion. But my brother said, don't ever forget that stone that Moses was sitting on. Don't ever forget, that's that song we sang tonight, on Jesus Christ, the rock. All other ground is sinking sand, but on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. Don't ever forget about that stone. I'll tell you, that's the battle that happened against Amalek. But this was very serious in the Lord's mind. And if you turn me to Deuteronomy chapter 25, I want to notice with you that God made sure that what he just told, what we read that he told Saul, he made sure this was actually in the law. In Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 17, it says, remember what Amalek did unto thee by the way, when you were come forth out of Egypt. How he met thee by the way and smote the hindmost of thee, even all that were feeble behind thee, when thou wast faint and weary, and he feared not God. Therefore it shall be, when the Lord thy God hath given thee rest from all thine enemies round about in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance to possess it, that thou shalt blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven, thou shalt not forget it. You know, it's very helpful for the child of God to forget some things so he can move on. In this case, the Lord has told him, you don't ever forget this. You know, in this world in which we live, to have prejudices is frowned upon. But in this case, the Lord has a prejudice. The Lord wants them to wipe out Amalek, utterly destroy it. And here in 1 Samuel 15, that commandment is given to Saul and to Israel. And I want us, and I not really want to get into this too much, but I want us to see how Amalek is a picture of sin. And when it comes to sin in our lives, we need to completely wipe it out. We need to mortify, as he says in Colossians chapter 3, mortify the deeds of the body, kill it. Get rid of sin in your life. Amalek's a picture of that. So Saul gathers the army together. And they come and they fight against Amalek. And it says this in verse 7. And Saul smote the Amalekites from Havilah until thou comest to Shur, that is over against Egypt. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them. But everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. Now, does it sound like to you that he kept God's order, his command? Sounds like he spared some things, and the Lord told him, don't spare anything. And so the Lord comes to Samuel and says, it repenteth me that I made Saul to be king. And Saul, and it grieved Samuel, and Samuel, he cried unto the Lord all night. Have y'all ever spent any sleepless nights? Here Samuel cries all night to the Lord. And when Samuel rises early to meet Saul in the morning, this is in verse 12, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place and has gone about and passed on and gone down to Gilgal. Now, that's going to be important later. Saul went to Carmel, Mount Carmel, and then he's gone to Gilgal. Carmel is on the west side of Israel by the Mediterranean Sea. And Gilgal is on the east side by the River Jordan. So he is paraded all through Israel with the spoils of the war. And when Samuel shows up, this is what Saul says in verse 13. Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. You know, some people are just very oblivious, aren't they? Just ignorant to what they're doing. and or what they're not doing. And he says, I perform the commandment of the Lord. And verse 14, and Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen which I do hear? Why am I hearing sheep and oxen if you perform the commandment? Where did they come from? Where are these animals from? And Saul says, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Now notice he says, the people did it. The people brought all these, and we did it to sacrifice to the Lord. You know, that's a good spin on wrong behavior. Y'all ever heard anyone do that? And take their bad behavior, but they spin it a certain way that it sound doesn't sound too bad. And Samuel said, I want you to hear what the Lord has told me. And he tells him some things. When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag, the king of Amalekite, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. Notice he's blaming the people. He's claiming peer pressure made him do it. Some king that doesn't have control over the folks of Israel. I don't know whether that's the case or not. It could be a lie, or it actually could be the truth. But this is the part that we like to look at. And see, this is really, he paraded them all the way across Israel. But notice what Samuel says in verse 22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now these words of Samuel in verses 22 and 23 are very precious, and I hope that we intend to spend the rest of our time on them. But he tells him, you're wanting to spare all these good things, to sacrifice them to the Lord. But do you really think the Lord would be pleased with that type of a sacrifice? Would that be an offering that would be acceptable in his sight? In the Old Testament law, they worked really hard to get a lamb that was spotless, get one that had no blemish, no spot, and that's what they sacrificed to the Lord. That was a picture of Jesus Christ. But what kind of a sacrifice would the Lord accept that comes from the Amalekites? Is that a sacrifice that the Lord wants? No, he wants obedience. He says to obey, that's better than sacrifice. And when it comes to us, and even in our day and age, what does the Lord require of us? He requires of us obedience and doing what he would have us to do, and to be willing to do what he'd have us to do. You know, in Isaiah chapter 1, he says, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. It takes willingness and obedience to eat the good of the land. You know, this is something that I think we need to really carefully consider, because I think there's a lot of God's people out in the world making great sacrifices to the Lord that he hadn't told them to. In fact, making sacrifices to the Lord that are contrary to what the Lord would have them to do. Just look at the people that confronted Jesus when he came, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. They thought all those things that they were doing and keeping their tithes and all the traditions of men that they were following, that that's what the Lord was pleased with. But the Lord wanted obedience, not sacrifice. In fact, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. And notice as the writer of Hebrews quotes Psalm 40 about this, he says this in Hebrews chapter 10. He says in verse 4, "For it is not possible that the blood of bulls and of goats should take away sins. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith," and this is quoting Psalm 40, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin thou hast had no pleasure." Now, reading statements like this and reading the Old Testament law where all those sacrifices and offerings were laid out can get confusing. Why would the Lord not be pleased with all those sacrifices and offerings he told them to make? I would venture to say that there were some sacrifices made that the people thought they were pleasing the Lord with, and he wasn't pleased with that. You know, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, the high priest, it says in Leviticus 10, they offered up strange fire unto the Lord, and he killed them right there on the spot. The Lord didn't command them to do what they were doing. They did it, and they were doing a sacrifice. They were making an offering, but the Lord, it was a strange one. He had not commanded it. It was not familiar that he had said that for them to do it, and so they died as a result. I find in Malachi chapter 1, the Lord rebukes the people for offering up the lame and the blind to the Lord. You know, I've got this sheep over here. It's blind. It can't see. It's not going to do me any good. I might as well just sacrifice it to the Lord. They were doing things like that. How many people give the Lord what's left over? They give the Lord the worst of what they got. They come dragging in on Sunday morning because they've been up late all night, Saturday night, and they don't give the Lord their best. They give them their worst. I'll tell you, it takes great diligence and obedience to do what the Lord would have us to do. You know, over there in, I believe it's 2 Kings chapter 5, Naaman the Syrian was a leper. And he came to Elisha. He came to be healed. And Elisha didn't even come out of the house and talk to him, but spoke to him through his servant. And he said, "Go wash 7 times in the River Jordan, and you'll be cleansed of your leprosy." You know what? Naaman got mad about that. He got mad. He got mad because Jordan was a dirty river, and he had cleaner rivers up in Damascus and Syria where he came from. That's not a commandment he wanted to follow. And he was going to go back home. And his servant said, if he'd have told you to do some great thing, you would have done it. See, he would have done a great sacrifice and offering if Elisha had told him, but he didn't like what Elisha told him. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of God's people that don't want to obey God because they don't like what the Lord tells them to do. It's not going to get them on the headlines. It's not going to get them recognized and noticed. And it's not something, you know, the Bible tells us to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction. That's not going to put you on the newspaper. That's not going to make you famous. I'll tell you what, that's what the Lord commands you to do. Come to church when the assembling of the saints says later on here in Hebrews 10, he says, well, that's not going to get you famous. That's not going to get you recognized, but that's the obedience. I'll tell you, in obeying God, there are sacrifices involved in that. Presenting your body a living sacrifice, as he says in Romans 12. 1 Peter 2, he tells us to offer up spiritual sacrifices here in the house of God. But I'd like to notice with you here in Hebrews 10, something that we just read. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want to tell you about one who came. And he came in obedience. Notice what it says here in Hebrews 10, verse 5. We'll read that again. "Wherefore he cometh, when he," I believe that's talking about Jesus, "cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. and burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, still quoting Psalm 40, lo, I come. I believe this is Jesus speaking. In the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Jesus says, here I come. To do what? God's will. Here's one who came in obedience. How many times did he say, I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me? And he declared what the Father's will, that of all which the Father had given him, he'd lose nothing but raise him up again at the last day. He came to do what the Lord, what the Lord's will was. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, yet learned he obedience through the things which he suffered. He obeyed. He obeyed what God would have him to do, even though it required his death, even though it required his suffering and his agony and his blood to be shed. It didn't matter. He obeyed. He could have, you know, I was talking to Elder Tom Griffin this week about Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane and why that's left on record for us today. You know, that prayer, I believe, teaches a lot of things, but Brother Tom mentioned to me and wanted me to think about it, that in that prayer, there's proof that there was no other way. There was no other way for us to get to heaven than the way which Jesus went. His obedience of doing God's law, keeping the law to a jot and a tittle and doing His will and being obedient, I'll tell you, that pleased God more than all the thousands of sacrifices that King Solomon made. The blood of bulls and goats, it wouldn't take away sin, but the obedience of Jesus Christ, that did it. You know, in 1 Peter chapter 1, he says that we are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father and through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus' obedience, that makes all the difference in the world. That's obedience is better than all burnt offerings and sacrifice. He came to do the Father's will, but in doing the Father's will and obeying the voice of God, there was sacrifices and offerings in that. Because it says in here in Hebrews 10, by the which will, verse 10, we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. There's the offering. Verse 11, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sin. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is an offering and a sacrifice to God that he's pleased with. This is an offering and sacrifice that is made out of complete and perfect obedience. Offering up the spoils of the Amalekites, Lord's not pleased with that. But offering up the precious blood of Jesus Christ, till there is nothing that has pleased God more than that. God declares, He says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And Jesus says, I do always those things that please the Father. That's all he did. And he even declared in John 4 that his meat was to even do the will of God and to finish his work. Tell you, Jesus lived to be obedient to God. Jesus is the picture of a perfect Son, as God is the Father is a picture of a perfect Father. He is a picture of what a Son of God should be. He taught us that obedience is better than sacrifice. I believe Pharisees and the Sadducees, I'm sure, were conducting more on a quantitative basis, sacrifices and offerings to the Lord. But Jesus' obedience pleased God more than all their offerings and sacrifices. His obedience was better. I'll tell you, when it comes to us and considering the rest of the life that the Lord gives us here on earth, may we always remember, before we say, well, I'll make this sacrifice and I'll do it half-heartedly and maybe that'll be good enough. You know, there's a saying here in this church, and if you can't come, send. Well, I appreciate that. There's still bills to pay, even if we don't come to church, and we got to pay them, and there's financial obligations that need to be met. So I appreciate if you can't come, send, but I'd rather you come. That's what the Lord has told us to do. That's what the Lord commands us to do, to come. Let's never devalue coming. As long as we give money or as long as we do this, that's good enough. I'll send my spirit. I'll send my prayers. Well, we appreciate that, but we want you here. That's what we need. And that is what the Lord has commanded. To obey is better than sacrifice. That's the thought I'd like for us to leave here tonight. To always remember, when it comes to the Lord, there's something that He prefers above the sacrifices and offerings you make, which they're important, which they are good. They are spiritual sacrifices that we offer and that we give and we make. It's a sacrifice to be here tonight. But don't ever think that just because you come to church, every time the doors meet, that you are doing what the Lord would have you to do. There's a difference in hearing the Word of God and doing the Word of God. The blessing is not in the hearing. The blessing is to do what God has commanded us to do. That is what we need to remember. To obey is better. It's better to obey. The Lord wants us to be obedient children. And He tells us something here, and I'll leave you with this. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that there's a state of mind that we need to always have. There's a battle going on for our mind. The devil would love to have our mind be elsewhere. And there's no telling where our mind has been, even in this worship service tonight for 1 hour. The devil wants to lure our mind away. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 12, it says, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Remember, when it comes to sacrifices and offerings, what you're trying to do in that is for the Lord to be accept that, be pleased with that, to be accepted. But when it comes to being accepted in the Lord's sight, He says, if there be first a willing mind, a willing mind. Remember Isaiah 1, if you be willing and obedient. You know, it's one thing to be obedient, to be gritting your teeth the whole time and to not want to do it. But if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. You know, there are some things we just don't have. Some things we wish we had, but we don't have them. But the Lord has never expected us to do what we can't do. He's never expected us to use what we don't have. But He does expect us to do what we can. I'm reminded of Luke chapter 7, where that woman with the alabaster box, she broke it and she anointed the Lord's feet with it. And the statement of Jesus on that occasion, she hath done what she could. May we do what we can in obeying the voice of the Lord. I thank you for your good attention tonight.